And today is a special day in the life of our congregation. And so if you're new today, this would be new information for you. But for the rest of you who are members and attendees of the church, you are aware of the fact that we are in a time of pastoral transition. I've been here for 10 years and I've loved every day of it. But there's a time and a season for everything under the sun. And so in the last month or two, the elders and the search committee, after a very diligent search, have recommended a pastoral candidate to come and assume my role beginning in September. And the person that I'm speaking of, again, all of you who are regular attendees, you would know of whom I'm speaking. It's Pastor Peter Kim. Peter has been with our congregation for about a year and a half with his wife Polly, and there are three lovely children. And Peter has been involved principally in university ministry for a number of years. He was at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles and oversaw a university ministry on several campuses. And then more recently, he went to Beijing, and they served in Beijing doing student ministry, and then they came back to Taiwan, ostensibly with the idea of going back to Beijing. His wife Polly is a dentist, and she was getting more dental training, and we're thinking that maybe that would be the best way of getting a long-term visa. But for a number of reasons, they have decided to stay here. And we're sad for Beijing that they won't be in Beijing, but we're very happy that they are here. And so today, Peter is going to give the message. It's in preparation of a meeting that we will have after this service for all of our members, a meal, an opportunity to interact with he and his family, and then a vote a week from today to encourage you as members to hopefully support the recommendation that we have made. He's a great guy and a friend, and he's a fan of some football team from Southern California that I'd never heard of before. But anyway, he's here and he's wearing an Indonesian sash. He always identifies with different groups in our congregation. So God bless you, Peter, as you share the word with us.
Well, good morning, everyone. Just want to introduce myself again. My name is Peter, and I'm wearing this traditional, and I just found out or was reminded today that it's not Indonesian in general, but it's a specific tribe in Indonesia called Batak. This is part of their group. And I just found out today, there was a sister that got this for me, and this morning I was trying to wear it, and I didn't know how to wear it, and so I actually had a safety pin and tied it up like this. And I went to my Indonesian friend, and he was like, "Oh, that's how girls wear it." And then he says, "Actually, the color is even a girl's color." I was like, "Okay, well, thanks." I like to wear things like this. Every time that I've spoken here at Friendship, I've worn some traditional dress from some country. And I like to do this because I like to represent all the people around the world. And we have people from all around the world here, and so I just want to just everyone to remember that there are people here from all around the world. And so I want to make sure that we're able to get to know each other and to grow together, and maybe you can find out something more about someone else's culture. With that, I'd like to welcome all of our guests today. I'm sure there are a lot of people that have come here for the first time, and so I just want to say welcome to you guys. And this is rarely done, but I just want to say hi to those that are listening to a recording of this message. I know that some people actually listen to a recording of this message, and they're not really recognized. So I just want to say hi to you guys, especially to Penny in Scotland and Ming in Australia. And for all those listening to this message, we look forward to seeing you all sometime soon. As I begin, I want to first of all share that there's been a brother among us here, and he's a brother who loves diving, especially in the Philippines, and who has family in Hawaii. This brother came up to me during the summer, this past summer, and he asked me to pray for him. And And I mentioned this, brother, because I haven't seen you around, and I don't know if you're here today, but if you are, and if you hear this, I just want to say that I have prayed for you, and I think about you and wonder about you from time to time. And if you're here, I'm sure you know who you are. Please come and talk to me afterwards, and I want to know how you've been. This brother shared with me at that time that he was going through such a difficult time, and he had a hard time seeing the end of the tunnel. And many of us have gone through a situation like this before, where things are so difficult in our lives that we just don't know when things are going to end. And we start asking questions like, what's the purpose of all this? Why is God making me go through all this? What's the reason? And these types of questions actually come up pretty often when we're face to face with death. As we look at today's passage, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 28. And I don't know if you guys saw the title, but the title is The Great Commission, and then in parentheses, it's Rewind. Rewind, rewind, rewind. Because we're going to be going through the passage not from top to bottom, but from bottom to top, from the last verse to the first verse. And so in the last verse, it talks about Jesus making a promise, and he says, I am with you always to the end of the age. And we want to start with this idea of the end of the age. There is an end. And all of us will face an end sometime in our life. And it may come in the form of us passing away, or it may come in the form of Jesus Christ returning and bringing the end of the world. In any case, all of us will be face to face with the end sometime in our life. And a lot of times when we see someone else pass away, we begin to ask questions, same types of questions. It's the same type of questions that we ask when we face difficult times. What are these questions? What's the purpose of it all? What's the purpose of my life? What have I lived for? What have I accomplished? And we ask these big questions about the meaning of life. In a similar way, I want to ask a question, and I believe we need to ask this question of, why does the church exist? Why do we gather like this week after week? Why do we exist? Now, how many of us have actually asked this question before? Why does the church exist? Probably not many of us. Probably not many of us. But I want to propose that maybe, actually a lot of us have asked this question. Perhaps when we first arrived in Taiwan. Maybe when we began looking for a new church. We started having thoughts like, I'm looking for a church with people who I can relate with. I'm looking for a church that has good teaching. I'm looking for a church that's calmer, maybe, or more exciting. I'm looking for a church that's not so touchy-feely. Some of us might be thinking this way. I'm looking for a church that's big. I'm looking for a smaller church. And as we have these thoughts in our minds, in a way, we're actually expressing in our innermost being what we think church is supposed to be about. So, is church supposed to be about community, or good teaching, or a certain style of music, perhaps to fit our own needs? Is that what church is about? Why does the church exist? And for some of us that grew up in the church, maybe we have the right answer. And the right answer always is? Jesus. That's the answer to every question, right? Right? Yeah, it's true. Why does the church exist? It's because of Jesus. Let me say it a little bit differently. The church exists because people become disciples of Jesus. And people continue to make disciples of Jesus. And when these disciples of Jesus come together, you have the church. We exist because we are becoming disciples and we are going out and making disciples. And that's what today's passage is all about. Becoming disciples and making disciples. Today's passage is called, it's often referred to as the Great Commission. It's the great command, the great sending forth that Jesus Christ does to all his people. Jesus sends his people out and gives this command to his people. And so we're going to talk about the Great Commission today. And we're going to talk about why the church exists. So let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. We'll be starting in verse 18, and we'll go to the end of the chapter. If you have your Bibles, you could turn there. If you have your cell phones, you could turn through your, dial up where you need to go. And if you don't have a Bible, that's okay. There are some Bibles in front of you. You guys could open up those Bibles. Let's turn together to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And if all else fails, of course, it's on the screen. And this is the reading of God's word. And Jesus came to them. I'm quoting from another version. Okay. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Amen. As we look at verse 20, so again, we're starting from bottom, and we're going to go up. As we look at verse 20, we'll notice the first thing about the Great Commission. The first thing is that we see that Jesus made a promise to be with us to the very end of the age. He made this promise. And it's such a comforting idea that Jesus says that he'll be with us, especially when we feel lonely or we're going through some difficult time. It's just such a great promise, knowing that Jesus is with us, isn't it? But if we think about this idea a little bit more deeply, it could sound a little bit strange. Why? Maybe some of us have learned in the past this word, omnipresent. Omnipresent. And what does this mean? It's this theological term that just means that God is everywhere. God is everywhere. And so when Jesus says, "I will be with you," it's like, if we think about it, we're thinking, Jesus, but aren't you everywhere? Aren't you always? This is kind of redundant, isn't it? Why do you have to tell us that you're going to be with us if you're always with us? If you're everywhere all at the same time? Well, maybe it's not just pointing to the idea that he's everywhere all at the same time. Maybe it's pointing to something a little bit different. What does Jesus mean when he says that I will be with you always to the very end of the age? Perhaps what it means is that I will make it known to you that I am with you. You will know and you will realize, you will have a deeper understanding that I am actually with you. Because we could go about our day and just completely forget about Jesus, right? We could go about our day and we're just so busy with our lives that we completely forget about him. But perhaps what Jesus is saying here is that I will make it known to you that I am with you. Is that what you guys want? I know I do. I would love it if all day long that I'll be so aware that Jesus is with me. I think, you know, like if we are going about our day, and then some of us, well, I should say all of us struggle with all kinds of sin. We struggle with different kinds of sin. And, you know, like the little kid who knows not to do something bad when his parent is around, we would say that if Jesus was with us right next to us all day long, we wouldn't fall into sin. Right? I mean, would you really try to steal something if Jesus is next to you and be like, "Hey, Jesus, isn't this cool?" Would we really do that? No, we wouldn't. So yeah, is this what you want? I know I do. I want to know that God is with me. And not just with an intellectual understanding that, yes, God is all around. God is with me. Not just in this way, but I really want to witness and experience, whether it be through circumstances around or through a deep peace in my heart and my mind, I want to know that Jesus is with me. And so this is his promise. His promise is that he will be with us to the very end of the age. But now we take a step up and we go to verse 19. And we see that this promise doesn't come as a standalone promise. It's not just by itself. Jesus just doesn't say, okay, I'm just going to be with you. But he actually says, look, there's this command that I'm giving to you, and if you obey this command, it's almost like a conditional promise. That if you obey this command, then Jesus will make his presence known to you. It will become more and more obvious that Jesus is with us if you are obeying his command. So what is this command? Well, starting in verse 19, it says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Okay, everyone look at the Bible right now and look and see how many commands are in there. How many of those verbs are imperative verbs? How many are commands? Take a quick look, count it with your fingers. Maybe if the person that's doing the thing can change it to the... Yeah. Nice. How many commands do you see? Maybe you guys could show me with your fingers. How many commands do you see? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, at first glance, it seems like maybe there are three, maybe four commands in this passage. Three. What are the three? Make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. And then maybe there's four if you see the word go as a command. Right? But actually, when you look at the original language, it's a lot more clearer what the actual command is. There's only one main verb in this passage, and the other three verbs are just supporting verbs, and they're not the main point of this passage. The main verb is make disciples. And then what about baptizing and teaching them? Well, the idea is you go and make disciples. This is the command. Now, how do you do that? What's the method of making disciples? And that's where baptizing and teaching, these two ideas come in. So then, let's talk about that. What is it to teach people? What is the idea behind this? Well, let's look at the verse. What does it say? It says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Okay, so this is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, teach the people all that I have commanded you. So basically, what is teaching? It's everything that we do here in church. Right? We sing songs. We go through the service and we recite verses together. We do the call to worship and we confess our sins together. And through all these things, we're being taught what it is to have a relationship with God. Of course, through the sermon, we're also able to be taught how we can have this relationship with the Lord. But if say like today I come before you and I'm like, okay guys, I'm going to teach you what Jesus says, okay? And now I'm going to tell you, you better obey. You better obey, right? Because the command here is make disciples by teaching them to obey. Observe all that he commanded, right? So I'm like, okay guys, you better obey. You better obey. Now, some of us here are naturally rebellious in our hearts. And as soon as you hear this word, obey, you're like, who do you think you are? I'm not going to do it just because you said it.
just because you said it, I'm not going to do it. Some of us are like that. And usually these people are the ones that are the quieter and they look all nice and everything. Right? You know what's in your hearts. I'm one of those people. But then that's why in our church, we emphasize the gospel. We don't want to just tell people, you have to obey. But we want to remind people of what the gospel is really all about. A lot of times the command to obey brings us to a place where we realize our need for Jesus. Why? Because when we know what Jesus' commands are, when we see how high of a standard it is, we realize, man, I could never reach that. And I need Jesus in my life. That's what the gospel is about. Turning to the Lord and saying, I need you, Lord. You're calling me to become like you, but I can't do it on my own. I need you. So I confess that I'm not able to do it on my own. And I want to live in the power of your Holy Spirit. That's what it means to live in the gospel. So we make disciples. How? By baptizing and by teaching. Now, we talked about teaching, but what does it mean when we talk about baptizing? Well, simply put, baptism is a result of evangelism. When we share with others about who Jesus is, those people may come to believe. And when they come to believe, then they are to be baptized. And baptism is simply a ceremony declaring that you are now a part of the family of God. There are a lot more deeper things that we could talk about in terms of baptism. But at the very base level, the idea of baptism is a declaration that you are now a part of the family of God. So that's what the command is. Make disciples. So the church exists to make disciples. Whether it's through bringing non-believers to Christ, baptizing, or whether it be through bringing believers to Christ, teaching them to obey. Either way, we're bringing people to Christ. That's why the church exists. That's why we're here. I wanted to share with you guys a story from my own life. When I was in college, I went through a crisis in my life. When I was a freshman, my first year in college, I went through a crisis. It was such a difficult time, and it was only a period of about one month. But it was such a difficult time that every single day I was in tears. I was crying. And the biggest question that I had in my mind was, I want to know what the truth is. There has to be some truth, some absolute truth out there, and I need to know what this truth is. And because I didn't know, that's why I was in tears. What happened was that I almost lost my faith. I was already a Christian at that time, but I ended up meeting with this one person who was part of a cult. And he started teaching me all these things. He came into our campus ministry like a wolf disguised in sheep's clothing. He came in as a person wanting to become friends with us and just hanging out with us. And he was a senior. I was a freshman. And I'm like, wow, senior. I'm sure I could learn a lot from him. And the way that I found out that he was leading Bible studies was because one day as I was walking across campus, he was having Bible study with a sophomore sister. A fourth-year senior brother having Bible study with a second-year sister. Do you guys think that's unusual? Okay. I think for anyone, they would look at that situation and be like, what are you guys doing? What do you have in mind? But I was a naive freshman, and I'm like, wow, you're having Bible study? Hey, senior brother, can we have Bible study too? And he's like, okay, sure. So we started having Bible study, and he started teaching me stuff that I never heard before. But he used the Bible to teach it to me. He started pointing to some strange, obscure verses, and he started sharing that you know, this is how it is and that's how it is. And he started asking some weird questions, like, do you know that John the Baptist isn't saved? I was like, what? And he started pointing out some obscure verse. I was like, I don't have an answer for that, but okay. And he went through some other verses, and then eventually he got to a point where he said, do you know, Peter, that you're not saved? And that was it for me. My month of crisis began at that point. And I was in tears every day, because the very foundation that I had, the comfort and the peace that I had from knowing Christ, all of a sudden all disappeared. Well, after searching, diligently searching for a month, I came to a point where I was reminded of what Christianity is really all about. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the gospel. It's about our need for the Lord Jesus. And as I was reminded about who Jesus was and what he did for me, in that moment, I began a prayer. And this is how I prayed during that month. I prayed like this. I said, I don't know who you are out there, but I know you have to be out there. I know you exist. I don't know who you are, but whoever you are, I'm talking to you. I need to know the truth. And I don't know if this Bible is true. I don't know if I could trust it, but I'm searching. And I prayed a prayer that night towards the end of the month. And my prayer went like this. I was reminded of the gospel, of how wonderful it was, of how wonderful Jesus was in my life. And I prayed like this. I said, whoever you are, and I think you are Jesus, I'm still not 100% sure. And I'm still not 100% sure about the Bible. But it's the most beautiful message I've ever heard. And I want to believe in it. And so even though I'm not 100% sure, today I'm going to make a declaration that I will believe in you. And from that point on, my life was changed once again. And I fell in love with God's word. And I fell in love with the Lord. And God was just amazing in my life. And from that point on, I realized that this life that I live is not about me. It's about Jesus. And from that point on, I kind of made it a decision in my mind that, you know, I want to be a signpost. I want to be like just one of those signs out on the street that gives you direction on how to go somewhere. So when you look at me, all I am is one of those like broken wooden signs that's all cracked up and you could barely see what's written on it. But I'm pointing in a specific direction. So when you look at me, the point is not to put your focus on me. When you look at me, my hope is that you end up looking to Christ, whether you are a believer or a non-believer. I want to be a signpost for the Lord. I'm not the point. I'm just pointing. So this is the idea of making disciples, pointing people to Christ, pointing both to non-believers, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching people to obey, pointing people to Christ, to believers, teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded. And so today I want to leave you guys with a challenge. The challenge is this. I challenge all of you to become signposts for the Lord, where the point is not about you. The point is Jesus Christ. This is the reason why friendship exists. Our vision statement is we exist for the glory of God and for the good of Taipei. Everything that we do here is for the glory of God. And as we go out to the city of Taipei, as we go into our schools and our workplaces, we live to see Jesus proclaimed. Now, as you guys hear this, you guys may be thinking, yeah, you're right. That's kind of hard to do. I mean, who am I? I don't know too much about the Bible. I've never read through the whole Bible. It's so thick. Have you seen it? Who am I? How am I supposed to make disciples? But I want to encourage you. It could be something as simple as just sharing with someone about what you read recently in the Bible. If you share that, you're pointing people to Christ. It could be something simple as talking to someone today, right after service, about what you got out of the message. It could be something about maybe a song touched you, and you want to, and all it is just sharing with people about how God touched you during that time. Something simple. So I challenge you guys today that as we go out, as we spend time in the fellowship hall downstairs, maybe we could ask the question. Instead of asking the question, hey, good to see you, how are you? Maybe we could ask the question, so how's the worship for you today? How did God speak to you today? Perhaps all of our conversations will change today because of that. Now, I know that some of us here are going to be like, oh, legalist, like, you know, or some of us are the legalists. So how are you? What did you get out of the service today, right? It's inevitable. It's going to happen. It's okay. So instead of asking the question first, just go and share with someone what God is doing in your own heart. Try asking one another. Just try it out. Now, again, I'm saying this idea of try this out. And if I just left it at this, then it'll just be some, you know, 10 steps of how you can be a better Christian type of message. But when we look at our passage, we didn't start at verse 19. We started at verse 18, where Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. But not only that, what we didn't read was Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to Matthew chapter 28, verse 17, right? There's this whole story before this final command. And what is this whole story about? Basically, it's the idea, it's all about Jesus. I mean, that's the answer, right? It's all about Jesus. Jesus came into the world. He proved himself to be the one who was sent from God. He taught things consistent with things taught long before. But he also took it to a deeper level, saying that it's your heart that matters, not just your outward actions. He had compassion on people. As he walked through the towns and villages, he looked at how the people were, and he had compassion on them. And he longed to see God's people restored to him. And the last three chapters of the book of Matthew tell about how he was betrayed, how he was crucified, how he was buried for our sins. They tell us that though we were without hope, constantly turning away from the Lord, acting as if we had everything under control, they tell us that even though we were helplessly, constantly seeking our own way of life, which leads to pride and to self-destruction, they tell us about Jesus who had compassion on us. And it was almost as if Jesus was saying, I will take your punishment. I will restore you. You can be joyful. You can have peace. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, you can be guilt-free. Not only that, we read about how Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. He conquered sin. He conquered death. And so Jesus comes to us today saying, I have conquered sin and death And that's why all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I came to this earth from heavenly glory. I died on the cross that your sins may be forgiven. I rose again from the dead. I have accomplished it. And the work of making disciples is something I will accomplish, Jesus is saying. I will accomplish this work. I have all authority. I am the reigning king. I will accomplish my work. And all you need to do is be willing to participate in the work that I am doing. And my promise, Jesus says, is that if you are involved in making disciples, you will know that I am with you. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you that we have this command at the very end of the book of Matthew. At the very end of the book of Matthew. But if you look at the command on its own, then it can be a burdensome command. But if you have all of the book of Matthew in mind as you look at this command, then fulfilling this command, carrying out this command, no longer becomes a burden, but it becomes something that I want to do. It becomes my desire, my passion, because I appreciate so much what Jesus Christ did for me. I'm so thankful to the Lord that I want to share with people about Jesus Christ. I want to share with people and encourage you guys to continue to look to Christ. He is so wonderful, and that's why I want to do the work of the Great Commission. Why does the church exist? We exist to participate in what the Lord is doing, making disciples. So will you join in? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that from the beginning of time, even before the world began, you had us in mind. We thank you for your wonderful, incredible love and the grace that you continue to show us. And Lord, we come before you today admitting that we're not able to accomplish anything without you. We are sinners, and that's why we really need you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins and rising again and conquering sin and death. And Lord, I ask that you would constantly remind us of this wonderful gospel truth, that we would have this passion and this desire to see your name proclaimed and become your signposts. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Will you please rise and join in a response?